You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. It's Tuesday. Welcome on into Locked On College Football. You're stuck with us, Zach Blackerby, Locked On Auburn, Isaiah Hole, Locked On Wolverines. Happy Tuesday, my friend.
Happy Tuesday.
Did you enjoy your President's Day yesterday?
I did. I went comic book shopping.
Did you really?
The nerding of me continues.
I love that. Normally people do that on Wednesday because that's when the new ones come out. But I respect your game.
I wanted to get out because I'm starting to collect some of those new. When I say new, like I mean these are things that have been out forever. But like some of those newer Marvel properties that have been around forever, but that are about to be movies and TV shows. So like the Eternals,
right?
And Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got 6 copies of Eternals number 1 because there's 40 variant covers of it. And I'm new to this, so there's a zeal behind it. Like I haven't collected comics since I was like 13.
I was really into it in college, and then our local comic shop where I got my stuff closed. So that's a bummer. Was a major bummer. Hey, so let's talk some college football, and we're going to talk about returning experience and what all that means towards the end of the show. But I want to start things off today, Isaiah, by talking about really the biggest story in college football right now, and that is Gus Malzahn heading to Central Florida.
I thought you were going to say that Les Miles got a new hat, because that's huge news, and I thought we were going to do our whole show on that, but
we could.
You know what? That's your second biggest news. We'll go with your second biggest news.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's fine. I love the fit between Malzahn and UCF. I think it makes a ton of sense, and it really kind of transpired out of nowhere. You heard a little bit of rumors over the weekend. Monday night, a report came out that he has officially been offered the job. Then the question was, does he even want to coach? Because Auburn paid him over $21 million just to go away, which is an amazing gig if you can get it. But he accepted the job. Looks like he's getting paid around $11 million over this first contract for him to be the head coach of UCF. And I'm happy for him. He looks energized. He looks totally like not as stressed out as he was when he was taking the podium for the Auburn Tigers. But you look at this situation, and I think it's great. I think it's great for both sides. I think Gus is going to be able to call plays against less sophisticated defenses, and so some of the stuff may work. It may work, you know, 3rd and 4, you know, tunnel screens. Maybe that can work, you know, against the level of competition that Central Florida plays. And I think that's something that, you know, if he wins 10 games a year, maybe that's enough to keep the folks at UCF happy.
I mean, honestly, he should win more than 10, right? Like, this is a different situation than the one he was in. And that's the thing that has to be so appealing kind of on both sides, for the sake of you're at UCF. You're not at Auburn, where you have to play Alabama, LSU, and have maybe some of those tough crossovers like Georgia or Florida on a given year.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's at a place where he doesn't have that type of pressure. He's not getting judged on that. Like, you can sit there and say, well, Cincinnati, you know, but like, is Cincinnati a flash in the pan? Are they real? We won't know yet for another year or two or three, really.
I think it's
a really good situation for him.
Did you see the video that went around Twitter, and it kind of went around Auburn Twitter, so you may not have seen it, but about how, like, the reporter asked, like, all right, you're coming into, you know, the pressure cooker. You think you can handle it? Did you see that?
I did not, but that is hilarious.
I have it here. I'm going to play it for you.
You've dealt with fanatic fans, obviously, at Auburn, but do you have a good grasp of the pressure cooker you're walking into here?
All right, so the question's ridiculous, right? Here is Gus's response to it.
You know, I love expectations. I mean,
I couldn't hear any of that on my end.
Oh, okay.
But I can only imagine how, like, I mean, I can only imagine at this point. Like,
I mean, it was just a ridiculous question. And then, like, he just didn't know what to say. He just didn't know how to answer it, because I think it really threw him off. Like, oh, you're serious right now. And then the reporter later came out and was like, okay, I didn't mean what you guys thought I meant. I was just, you know, expecting, like, you know, UCF fans are just unhappy if you don't go undefeated. And it's like, he's used to that. He's okay. He's gone toe-to-toe with the greatest dynasty, you know, of our generation. He'll be all right.
Yeah, and he's done a pretty good job in that too, right? Like, Michigan can't get over the hump against Ohio State.
Right.
Auburn has to. Some teams that are Auburn teams that have been worse than Michigan teams have gone up against Alabama teams that are better than Ohio State teams and won.
Yeah.
So I think he's fine, right? In that sense, it's
he can get them up for one game a year. You know, that's kind of been his thing. It's just like, you know, it's just been consistency. Can you be more consistent? But, like, you don't have to be as consistent against UCF because you got one or two games, big games a year. And, you know, you don't have to worry about losing to, you know, the FAMUs of the world, because you're going to have so much more talent than them and just be so much better than them. So I think it makes a whole lot of sense for Gus. Did you see the video where the UCF mascot knighted him?
I didn't see that either.
So, Isaiah, you know, sometimes you see a video on the internet and it just kind of sticks with you. You know what I'm saying? Where you're just like, that bothered me. Like, I hated seeing that. So I've watched this 10-second video on loop probably between 150 to 200 times. Like, it's like got me so uncomfortable every time I watch it. I just can't look away. And for those who haven't seen it, Gus is coming off the podium to interact with their mascot, who's, you know, dressed like a big golden knight. Looks really cool. And he, like, motions for him to, like, take a knee. The knight mascot knights him, you know, takes his sword out and puts it on both shoulders. And then, like, he motions him to stand up, which is incredibly cringe. And Gus is like, okay. And then, like, Gus thinks it's over. He's like, okay, I hated that. I'm glad that half second of my life is over. It seemed like a lifetime. And then he hands him the sword that he knighted him with. And Gus is like, okay, all right. And so now he's holding this sword and doesn't know what to do with it. And then the person who's filming the video, like, pans around to the crowd, which there is no crowd. It's his wife, Christy, and their daughter that's there. And they're still sitting, like, they didn't stand up. And, like, it looks like they're in their basketball arena. And there's, like, no one else there. And it's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I hated it. I hated it so much.
Yeah, that's fun. That would have been a fun moment in a normal year.
I mean, and maybe. Would it have been?
At least in the sense that maybe it would make an entire arena of people cringe.
Yeah, maybe so. And that does sound fun in the right setting. There's no question about it. I don't know. I just, I'm going to talk to UCF people later for my my show, Locked on Auburn, to get their kind of spin on everything that happened. I'm going to ask them that. I'm going to be like, did that fire your fan base up? Like, I'm just genuinely curious, because I can't imagine you were excited about watching that either, but we'll have to see. Today's show brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. It's the best place on the internet to buy all of the parts that you need for your car or your truck or your SUV. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And these guys have everything as far as, you know, lights for your cars, headlights, engine control modules, even carpet. They have everything. And best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. That includes you. Yes, you. So why spend up to twice as much for the same thing? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, your truck, or your SUV. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. That's at rockauto.com. All right, Isaiah, moving on. Thank you for letting me vent about those videos. I really, really appreciate that. You're a good friend.
A lot of pent-up aggression there,
dude,
for you.
I actually just got off the air not too long ago, and I, like, talked about it for, like, 2.5 hours. So I feel like it should be gone, but that's just how much it bothered me. All right, so you came across an article on ESPN. I think we should credit The guy who wrote it, Bill Connolly. Yeah, Bill Connolly. Yeah, kind of take us through what you took away from this.
Well, it's one of those things that I look at every year. Sometimes I kind of don't, and usually that's when you see teams like Michigan have a bad year because I'm like, oh, Michigan's got 125th most returning production. Whatever, they'll be fine. They got guys ready to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you in the end aren't surprised in retrospect when that team doesn't do as well.
Right.
Now, it's not a hard and fast science. There are teams that have really strong returning production that don't do well, and there's teams that have essentially no returning production that go on and win a national championship like Alabama did.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year when Alabama was ranked 126th in the country. So I just find it really interesting every year because you usually can kind of get a pretty good gauge of who really honestly could be good, that maybe those come from out of nowhere type teams.
Right.
And who might be not so good, that usually is pretty awesome, because we always act like college football is this static thing, right? Like we're going to go into next year looking at a bunch of teams that were good in 2020, and we're going to be like, well, clearly that's going to be one of the best teams. You know, that's what happens every year. And then they fall off and you're like, oh, what happened? Why did they fall off? Well, chances are it's because they didn't have the returning production.
Right.
So I always find it interesting because some teams are immune to it and some teams aren't. And you can kind of get an early look at what the next season might be based off of having a large amount of players coming back that have been on the field before. Because honestly, college football is a game where you're almost always better if you've got a lot of players that have played before.
Right. Yeah. And looking at the top 10 as far as returning production for 2021, Louisiana leading the way with 96% of their production coming back. That is tremendous. Number two, UCLA with 91%, Miami at 3, also at 91%. We're both high on Miami. We did our top 10 rankings not too long ago. Miami was in there. Number four, Iowa State with 88% returning. Washington State at 5 with 87%, tied with Liberty at 6 with 87%. Oregon State also at 87%. Number 8, Utah at 86%. Oregon at 9 with 86%. And then at 10, Maryland with 85%. And so any of those schools, if we just want to look at the top 10 as far as, okay, maybe they could kind of pop and be somebody that folks have to worry about.
Yeah, I look at, you mentioned Miami. I think that the Pac-12, not all of the Pac-12 schools, but three of the four that are mentioned, or three of the five that are mentioned, that's a lot of Pac-12, because you got UCLA, Washington State, Oregon State, Utah, and Oregon all in there.
I kind of wonder if that has to do with, you know, a lot of these seniors, like with the Pac-12, they didn't really get as much of a season as other people. And so I wonder if more folks are choosing to stay.
Very well could be, because actually if you go outside the top 10, there's a couple more. 11 and 12 are both Pac-12 schools. 15's another one, and Arizona State, Colorado, Washington, Cal is at 20. So this could just really honestly be a conference that does what it's done, which is cannibalize itself. But I mean, that's kind of what happened a couple years ago. Like, I thought the Pac-12 was maybe the best top to bottom conference, I think, about 3 years ago. But the problem is it didn't look like it, because all the teams were just beating each other because they were all pretty good.
Yeah.
But I look at a school like UCLA with Dorian Thompson-Robinson's, you know, is going into, I believe it's a senior year. They bring in Zach Charbonnet. I don't know if he's accounted for on that ranking. I think that this could be like one of those years where, you know, UCLA beats USC and everyone acts shocked, and it should be no shock to anybody. Miami, we mentioned them. As being, you know, especially with Clemson losing Trevor Lawrence, this is an opening for them. Iowa State, who didn't make our top 10 because of me, thinking that people moved on that hadn't. Clearly, I think that they might be the team to beat in the Big 12. And then I look at teams like Utah, who's good on a year-by-year basis, now really should be even better. And Oregon, a team that we're always crowning as a potential college football playoff contender.
Right.
You know, now they've got all this returning talent. They still got Mario Cristobal. They didn't have a very good year this last year with a little bit of normalcy. It really could take a big step forward. So I look at those teams and I say, hey, those could be pretty good teams. And outside of that, Wisconsin at number 14, Washington, I mean, even Ole Miss at 22. Like, you know, this is the second year for Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. It could be a year where, okay, we know what's expected of us. We know what we're supposed to do. They've got more players returning on defense. Now, here's the caveat with something like that. Players are returning, yes. If the players can't play, it doesn't make a difference. So,
right.
If they are able to kind of put it all together in the sense of like, okay, now we know what DJ Durkin and Chris Partridge expect of us on the defensive side of the ball. We know what Lane Kiffin is trying to do. Now we can just go out there, play fast and whatever. But with that in mind, you look at Ole Miss with, you know, Matt Corral, all these returning defensive players. You look at the fact that they're 22 in the country and returning production.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a big surprise to me if suddenly it was like, oh, what happened? Ole Miss coming out of nowhere, Lane Kiffin's second year. That's what the benefit of a chart like this really does.
Yeah, and we can talk more about some of the contenders and where they rank in just a moment right here on Locked On College Football.
Bet Online. I got to talk to you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Listen, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, they're in full swing right now. BetOnline.ag. They also even cover award shows, TV shows, reality TV. So go ahead, bet on Married at First Sight. Bet on the Real Housewives of Des Moines. Bet on all of it. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It's free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag to sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Final few minutes here on today's edition of Locked On College Football. Zach and Isaiah here with you. As far as teams that we believe are currently in the national title picture, Clemson is 65th in returning experience. I think that is interesting just because I feel like a lot of people left, but they're returning more than most of the quote-unquote elite teams are. Georgia is ranked 92nd with 62% of production returning. And you already mentioned Alabama at 110 with 55%. And then Ohio State's at 121 with just half of their production, 50% returning. You know, so as far as, you know, looking at those playoff caliber teams, which of those is that concerning at all for you or encouraging for you for either of those numbers?
Well, I think it depends on where the imbalance is, if there is an imbalance. You look at Clemson, like you said, 65th nationally. They lose most of their talent on the offensive side. And at the most important position,
mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence. But they return almost everybody on defense. So they could be a really stout defensive team. It's going to be a question of how does former five-star DJ Uiagalelei come in.
Wow. You wouldn't be that confident.
I can't believe I nailed it. But how does he come in? How does he do? How does he do with basically a new group? That's the big thing. I think the kind of common denominator for three of the four teams we just mentioned is new quarterbacks, new offenses to some degree.
Right.
Ohio State, I think, is worse off because 99th percentile in returning offensive players. They lose Justin Fields. And almost at the very bottom, 119 out of 127 teams in returning defensive production. So you've got a couple players here and there, like Chris Olave is coming back. Obviously, you still have like Zach Harrison and Tyler Friday and some of those guys, but it's you lose a ton in a case like that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of these teams. I mean, even Alabama losing Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, not Henry Ruggs, we lost him a little while ago, Jalen Waddle.
All of their NFL receivers kind of start to run together.
Yeah, what once
Amari Cooper, no, he's gone too.
Once you lose that many players, you could be in for a down year. Now, these are programs that recruit at a super, super high level. So it could certainly just be a plug-and-play situation. It absolutely could. I'm not saying because Ohio State is near the bottom of college football returning experience that they can't honestly go out and not just win the Big Ten, but win it all. Alabama did it just this last year. But at the same time, there's an opening for some of those other teams. If you look at Ohio State, where they're at 121st, and you look at Wisconsin at number 14, maybe this is the year that even if Ohio State still has a really good year, maybe this is the year that Wisconsin takes them down in the Big Ten championship game. There's all kinds of possibilities that happen. Same thing with Alabama, right? LSU is up at around, 30-something here. 30, exactly. You know, it wasn't a good year last year, but still a ton of talent. Now maybe it's like, okay, now we know what we're supposed to do. We've got that experience under our belt. Maybe LSU rises up. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about a list like this is you can kind of predict who may take that step and who may take that step back.
Isaiah, where can people find you and hear you, buddy?
They can find me apparently at the comic book store, and they can hear me at Lockdown Wolverines.
Awesome. You can follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby and here Locked On Auburn wherever you get your podcast. And our colleagues throughout the Locked On Podcast Network will be back for more Locked On College Football tomorrow. See you then. This has been Locked On College Football.
You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.